a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, 'cause he ain't got nobody to listen to.
I'm blue, I'm in need of a night.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active. Another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes. Another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger. Two if you're very overweight. And three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Hour number two of the program. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to the Shukri Wright Show at 91.5 FM WMFO and Medford Touch Reform Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Here on this Monday night, final Monday night of the month of January. Can you believe that? The first month of 2022 has flown by in a blink of an eye. Whew. I can't believe it. I'm excited to see what February has in store. Obviously, we got the Super Bowl coming up in 13 days. And then also, you got the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. That's also this month as well. Believe the opening ceremonies is Thursday night. It'll be Friday morning in China, basically, in Beijing, where the Winter Olympics are taking place. So I'm excited for that. You got the Winter Olympics coming up, and then also you got the Super Bowl on the 13th. I mean, we hope that spring training will start on time, but or at least in the month of February, but that remains to be seen what happens next in terms of the baseball negotiations and the CBA. That also remains to be seen, but a lot that's going on in the month of February coming up, but I'm excited. I'm excited for the possibilities. New opportunities abound. New blessings and new opportunities. We'll see what happens. We shall see what happens. But in the meanwhile, our number two of the Shukri Wright Show continues on, and we are going to go back to Kansas City to talk about what happened. Like, what the hell happened? Because I feel like this is such a deep-rooted collapse that we witnessed yesterday between the Chiefs and the Bengals, in which that the Kansas City Chiefs blew a 21-3 lead and loses the game in overtime. And in the way that they lost, I mean, wow. I mean, where do you even begin? How do you even begin to like try to make sense of what we all witnessed? I don't think you can. And that's the part of it that I look at and I say to myself, if you are a Chiefs fan, or if you are a Kansas City Chiefs, how do you begin to put the pieces together as to what exactly went wrong? It's amazing just the just to even reflect upon it. So, if you have any thoughts, call me at 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. Here with you live until 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be predominantly football for the remainder of the way. Won't be touching on like hockey or basketball tonight. Baseball, very unlikely. But so it's going to be mostly like a football conversation. But with that being said, I look at the Chiefs right now in two aspects. Number one, what a colossal opportunity missed and blown by the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday to get back to a third straight Super Bowl, which hasn't happened since the Tom Brady quarterbacked New England Patriots between 2016 and 2018, where they got to three straight Super Bowls, 2016, 2017, 2018. And yesterday, everything was there for the picking for the Kansas City Chiefs, and they blew it. How? I don't know if you could just point your finger at just one particular thing. Many people would say that final play of the first half is what did them in. Actually, that was just a factor, but not the reason why. So, as we begin to figure out exactly what the hell happened in Kansas City yesterday, let's start off with the fact of Andy Reid continues to prove yet again why he has a losing record in championship games. I'm serious. He has a losing record in championship games. Yesterday, and what we saw in terms of going from aggressive, keep your foot on the throat, to going to being soft and conservative, just absolutely blew up in their face. That's what that was. Let's start there. Because Andy Reid, going back to when he was in Philadelphia, he was 1-3 in championship games. With Kansas City now, he is 2-2. He's 2-2. So, what is he? He is 3-5 all time in championship games. 3-5 and a 1-1 record in the Super Bowl. But we're specifically talking about NFC and now AFC title games. He is 3-5. Yesterday, allowing your player, your quarterback, to dictate the terms of how you run your team and your operation told me that that was just absolutely a weak move. It wasn't a weak move because it backfired. That's not why. Why was it a weak move? Because you basically told that you are going to put your quarterback's wishes ahead of what is best for the team. That's why. Based upon hearing that, I can hear the eye rolls in the audience saying, you just said that, you just basically contradicted yourself. No, I didn't. What I'm saying is that you basically allowed Patrick Mahomes to basically say, no, I got this. Let's throw it. Instead of saying, F off. Get off the field. I'm sending the field goal unit on. At that moment, Andy Reid lacked the cojones to stick to his guts. And he paid a dear price for it yesterday. That is where we got to start with. At what point does the head coach stop giving too much power to the player? Yesterday should be the starting point in which Andy Reid says, no, we're going to do things my way or the highway. You choose. Some may say, well, him doing things the way that he used to do it, it worked. Yeah, it worked until it didn't work anymore. until it blew up in your face. Now, if you are thinking, well, we're going to get back to the Super Bowl again next year, there are no guarantees in the NFL at all. No guarantees. Had they won yesterday's game, now we're talking. Now we're talking about potentially the Chiefs maybe winning another Super Bowl against the Rams. Just maybe. Just maybe. But instead, we're talking about one of the worst collapses in NFL postseason history. Obviously, 28-3 in the Super Bowl by the Falcons against the Patriots ranks number one all time, obviously. But in terms of championship game collapses, that one is up there along with the 2006 New England Patriots collapse against the Indianapolis Colts. And the 06 AFC title game, in which the Patriots, they were leading. They were leading handsomely, 21-3, and blew it. And they blew that game to Peyton Manning, who will go on to win his first Super Bowl title. But the Chiefs revealed to me yesterday that the players have too much input as to what happens in key moments, and that's problematic for long-term success. See, I am a believer in player creativity, player input. You know, players having to say, sure, absolutely, but to an extent. When you give too much power to your players, things like this happens. And then when you lose, the second guessing begins. It's as if you, the parent, decided to make your children your best friends. It doesn't work. It never has worked. Because guess what happens? The respect goes out of the window. In this case, Andy Reid knew better. He made the right call initially until Patrick Mahomes said, no, let's go with one more throw. And the sheer arrogance in that decision alone is why the Chiefs are collectively sitting at home on their behinds. Because ultimately, football is a game of momentum. When you underestimate a team that has been down and out before, been overlooked, and they have carried the underdog mentality, they showed everyone why they were at the AFC Championship game. That was not an accident. And what you saw from Joe Burrow in the third, especially in the fourth quarter, was basically championship material. So how stunned can you honestly be here on this Monday night when you look back at yesterday's game and you say, man, Andy Reid really blew this one. But in terms of that decision, you blame Patrick Mahomes. More on him in just a moment. More on him. Because this is not a whole Andy Reid gets all of the blame here. Oh, no, 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 no. See, Patrick Mahomes failed. He failed a moment and a test that could potentially define the beginning of his career. He failed a test, and what was that test? Knowing when to remain humble and just listen instead of trying to bite too much than what he can chew. He went to go for the big bite. It ended up losing his teeth in the process. He tried to bite the big bone and lost all of his teeth in the process. Ultimately, the teeth tried to grow back in the form of chiclets in the fourth quarter, but by then it was too little, too late. The quote coming out of Kansas City today was, no one's looking at Patrick Mahomes sideways. But he sure as hell deserves criticism. And if he's not criticized for defying and going above and over the play calling of Andy Reid, which was to kick the field goal instead of going for one more throw, which was supposed to be a touchdown pass, perhaps, just maybe, we're having a different conversation altogether. Because it's clear that that decision impacted him mentally yesterday in the second half of the game. Because as I'm watching the game yesterday, I'm saying to myself, yo, I don't see that same confident Patrick Mahomes that we saw in the first half. He was timid, afraid to take shots down the field, not making the passes and the plays that he was making in the first half, in which he dominated the Cincinnati Bengals. But for some reason, that decision really stood with him psychologically, and in the end, it was he and the Chiefs who paid an ultimate price for it. Arrogance and pride is a sin, and no one is privy to the outcome of one who becomes too big for his britches. Coming up next, is it time for another championship in Los Angeles? I'm going to give you a reason why it just might be time for the Rams to finally get over the hump. I'll explain to you my thought and my theory on that coming up next right here on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Reform Radio.
Welcome, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Smokey Colbert, filling in for Smokey on his birthday. Because after 75 years of...
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Turns out there's much more to say. Just look at the news. Nearly 90% of wildfires are caused by us humans being careless. And I'm not just talking about obvious things like campfires or letting your totally sweet nephew, Francis, play with matches. I'm talking about dumping your used barbecue coals willy-nilly or parking your car on tall, dry grass. That can lead to, poof, guess the song was wrong. We did start the fire. But listen, being a South Carolinian, I respect Mother Nature and her trees, whether coniferous, deciduous, or new car scented. So if you love the outdoors like me, go to smokeybear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention, because fire safety is always in season. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. Stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver, for no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFON, Medford Touch Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. Call into the program at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. As we are going to be talking predominantly football, as we have throughout the entire show up until this point so far. So if you have any thoughts on the Bengals and Chiefs game yesterday or the Rams and the 49ers from last night, feel free to call me. Let's talk about it. What are your thoughts? So in the meanwhile, there's one question that I do think it's worth asking and having a lengthy conversation about. Because if there's one thing that I've realized and I've come to this realization is that sometimes you just know when someone or something is just due. When someone is just overdue for the grand prize of them all, you just know, based on how things are falling or coming together, or just timing. And I just think that right now, the Los Angeles Rams, they just have this feeling of, you just know that it just may be their time. And with all Super Bowls and games of life, there has to be a winner and a loser. There's no getting around it. Unfortunately, for two teams coming into Super Bowl 56, which is in 13 days, on February 13th at 6:30 p.m. on Eastern on NBC, someone's got to lose the game. The Bengals have been a tremendous story, but right now, it looks like it just might be the time for the Los Angeles Rams to win it all. I'm not going to give you my official prediction just yet. I'm not going to. Too early, and I'm not going to give away the chips of the cards that I hold in my hands. I'm not going to do it. But what I will say is this. When I was talking about moments ago how you could just tell that something or someone is just well overdue, that it's just their time, I'm talking about the Los Angeles Rams. And one of the big signs that I look at is, look at the transactions just from within the past calendar year alone. The last calendar year alone should tell you that the Rams, their intent and their goal the entire time was to win it all, to win the Super Bowl. Not just get there, but win it. A year ago today, in fact, they went out and they traded for Matthew Stafford from the Detroit Lions. And Matthew Stafford with the Detroit Lions never, ever won a single playoff game in his life. And that's really no fault of his own. But he wanted to get out of Dodge, and the Detroit Lions were willing to get him out of Dodge. We all know what was the return for the Detroit Lions. They got back Jared Goff. We all know how that worked out and so forth. But then, that wasn't the only deal that was made. This past November, the Rams, they were busy. Very busy. They went out and they got Von Miller, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL the past decade. They got him from Denver. And then also, they went out and they acquired talented but much maligned wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., formerly of the New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns. When the news broke that the Rams got Odell Beckham Jr., I was of the school of thought that I don't think this is going to work. I don't think this is going to work out. A lot of talent, but is he going to be a cancer in the locker room? A lot of talent, but is he going to throw temper tantrums on the sideline when things don't go his way? A lot of talent, but is he going to work well with Matthew Stafford? Because the last two quarterbacks that he worked with, Eli Manning and Baker Mayfield, no comparison to Matthew Stafford talent-wise, it just didn't work out. It didn't work out in New York. It didn't work out in Cleveland. So why was I going to believe that a team like the Rams, who were Super Bowl contenders, they bring in a guy who, no question, has all the talent in the world, but absolutely had major question marks surrounding his character and as well as his ability to do what is best for the team. Why was I going to think that it was going to be any different in Los Angeles? Why? It wasn't going to be any different. But so far, I've been proven wrong. Odell Beckham Jr. proved a lot of people wrong. You see, when you talk about the Rams and you talk about some of the things that they've had to overcome, losing the number one receiver to injury for the season, that's what they got Odell Beckham Jr. because they didn't have a number one receiver. They did, but he was lost for the season due to injury. And also, they went out and they got Von Miller because they realized that Aaron Donald alone wasn't going to be enough. And Aaron Donald right now is among the absolute most dominant defensive players in league history already. And this is his eighth or ninth season in the league. So the Rams said, we are going to just push the chips to the middle of the table. It's about this season and nothing more. And so far, everything they've touched has turned into gold. The only thing left now is to win Super Bowl 56. Now, in regards to how you just know that they're due, you got to go back 3 years ago now. Go back to Super Bowl 53. Patriots, Rams. Aaron Donald played in that game. He played in that Super Bowl. The Rams were there. Sean McVay was also the head coach. But also, keep in mind that Jared Goff was also the quarterback at that time. This was the high-flying, high-scoring Rams offense that was supposed to blow the top off the New England Patriots, but the Patriots held them to just three stinking points. That's it. Then after that, the questions begin to surface and pop up about Jared Goff. Is it going to work in LA? Is he the guy the Rams can win a championship with? Those were questions that were asked after the Rams lost to the Patriots in Super Bowl 53. Sean McVay and the Rams organization realized that if they were going to win a Super Bowl, they were going to have to make a change at quarterback. So what did they do? They mortgaged their future to get the quarterback that can help them win now. To hell with the rebuild. Let's just go for the biggest, baddest dog that is out there on the market. And they got their guy. Because Matthew Stafford is that guy. If you were to tell me, just going back 2.5 months ago, that the additions of Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. were going to work out just fine, I would have said, you know, Von Miller, I could see it working out just fine. Odell Beckham Jr., I'm not so sure. I have some legitimate trepidations about this one. But it's worked out well. It's worked out very well. To even take it a step further, the Rams right now, they are one win away from winning the Super Bowl, and so are the Bengals. But the Rams, being in a position that they're in right now, you got to give a lot of credit to Sean McVay, because he's had to make adjustments. He's had to adjust. He's had to adapt. He realized that it wasn't going to be just enough for his offense to basically carry the team. He needed another dynamic playmaker on defense to go along with Aaron Donald, as aforementioned, and not to be forgotten as well as Jalen Ramsey, a dynamic cornerback that plays a vital role to the Rams secondary on this team. So when I realized that they have all the ingredients together, they got the run game, they have the quarterback, they have the defense, they have the pass rush, they have the secondary, and they definitely have the offensive line as well, that's when it occurred to me that they finally have all of the ingredients to finally get over the hump. They didn't have it 3 years ago against a much better coached and a much more disciplined New England Patriots team. But they have it now. And they are primed to finally nail the final nail in the coffin in Super Bowl 56 for a team and organization that's been on an odyssey for the better part of the last 5 years. We're going to step aside for another music break. Coming up next, what on earth is going on with Major League Baseball and the collective bargaining agreement? There's an article that came out in The Athletic today that has me pretty alarmed, but not surprised. We're going to stare aside from talking football, and we're going to talk some baseball and lockout discussion as well. Coming up next right here on The Shuki Wright Show. With Shuki Wright, you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Form Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.
Despite a decades-long drug war, billions of dollars spent, and millions of Americans locked up in prisons, drug use rates have remained relatively constant. Any economist will tell you that as long as there's demand, there will always be entrepreneurs with a supply ready to make a profit. When a drug dealer is busted, it's nothing more than a job opening for someone else to fill. This is Economics 101. Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy to help teach lawmakers this simple economics lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out more information about SSDP, if there's a chapter at your school, or how to start one. It's time to join the growing opposition to our country's failed war on drugs and start an open, honest, and rational discussion of alternative solutions to our nation's drug problems.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio. Streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org. The number to call in is 855-915-WMFO. 855-915-9636 is the number to call in. I'm here with you for another few minutes until I wrap it up at 7 o'clock. As my evening comes to an end here on this program. Now, coming up next after this show concludes is, looks like it is, doesn't look like there's anyone after me, at least for right now. But, yeah, that's what it looks like for now. So, it looks like there's no one else after me. So, I guess it'll just be, you know, the good old music programming and whatnot that'll take over the airwaves at 7 o'clock. So, with that being said, baseball still is fighting and bickering over money, and I am so at a point where I'm really, really, really ready to just throw my hands up and say, screw this. I'm done. And according to today's article that came out in the Athletic, that was looks like it was written by Ken Rosenthal. It didn't give me any sort of hope that something could potentially be resolved and worked on. So this article was written 4 hours ago by Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich of The Athletic. Ken Rosenthal as well as part of Fox Sports as well. So this is what it says here in the column, as I have it in front of me. Anyone sensing momentum in baseball's collective bargaining negotiations need to take a deep breath. League and player representatives continue to hold much different views of the game's economics. The scheduled start of spring training is mid-February, is clearly in jeopardy. In another few weeks, opening day on March 31st would be a long shot too. As the owner's lockout drags into its third month, the essence of the problem is this. Major League Baseball contends it is proposing a better deal for players than the one they had under the most recent collective bargaining agreement. And the Players Association contends that the deal is worse. The acceleration of talks is hardly out of the question. In labor negotiations, it's always darkest before the dawn. But Scott Boras, the game's most prominent agent, said the players are dug in not only because their salaries are declining, but also because franchise values, even as profits have fallen during the COVID-19 pandemic, continue to soar. Since 2002, all four of the major U.S. sports leagues have performed better than the S&P 500 companies on the stock market, according to PitchBook. The return on Major League Baseball franchises was 669% above the NFL's 558% and exceeded only by the NBA's 1,057%. History has told a story that the players now understand, Boras said. And the history is that when you negotiate from is appreciation of the franchise values and revenue increases, from the player's perspective, it is about how successful this game is from those two perspectives, and they want fairness. Players want fairness in the success of the game. Unquote. This is the classic, I want what's mine, and the owners, they're not willing to budge. I am so disturbed, so disgusted. So what's wrong with asking, I want my equal share of the pie? You're clearly making profit. You're clearly making profit. Why can't I get a piece of the pie instead of you trying to hoard all the money? Like, this is the kind of greed in which that the player said, nah, enough is enough. We're asking for what is fair. We're asking for what is right, and nothing less and nothing more. and the owners are not willing to budge. As I read in that excerpt there, basically what they're saying is, well, we are willing to give you an X amount of money, but I think this is a better deal. The players are saying, no, screw that. What you're giving us is even worse. They're smart. They're not dumb. And I just, based upon reading that alone, I truly feel so discouraged in regards to whether baseball will start on time or not. I just hope that we do have a season, that we don't lose half the season because the owners do not want to give to what the players are asking for. And I don't think what the players are asking for is completely outrageous. Like, oh, how dare you? They're asking for a fair share of the revenue that these franchises are making. What the hell is so wrong and so disturbing or disgusting about asking for that in which that the owners are not willing to budge? Like, the economics of this game makes me so sick to my stomach. In which, I want to pull up the article again because I really feel like I want to continue to, like, read this. And maybe I should. So, this is in continuation. The owners historically have pushed back on the relevance of franchise values in labor negotiations, saying they base payrolls on revenues and not the potential resale values of their clubs. But even putting franchise values aside, the players remain dissatisfied with their share of the revenues and frustrated in their belief that the owners' latest proposals will not do enough to improve their overall standing. A breakdown of the most contentious issues in negotiation reveals just how far apart the two sides are. This is about to get interesting, ladies and gentlemen. So here's what I will do. I'm going to read two more paragraphs for the sake of time because we are running out of time. But this part here is really where it's most telling. So here we go. Minimum salary. The minimum is no small matter in baseball, affecting a sizable number of players as the league skews younger. As Travis Sawchik wrote in November, 571 players, that's 63.2% of all MLB players in 2019, the last season in which complete full season data was available, had between 0 and 3 years of service. All but the Super 2s, the 22% of 2-plus players who qualified for arbitration, were essentially bound to the salaries at the minimum or slightly above. The players have proposed increasing the minimum from $570,500 to $775,000. The owners have proposed that the players will earn $615,000 in their first year, $650,000 in their second, and $700,000 in their third. Would you stop being cheap bastards and pay them already? Like, seriously. Like, so we're counting pennies for a sport that's making billions and billions of dollars? Is this what we're doing? Unbelievable. In continuation, the increase of $44,500 for first-year players would be the largest they have ever received, and $27,500 more than a union negotiated for them in the 2016 CBA. But the union notes the boost is barely above a cost of living increase. They're penny pinching, and it makes me disgusted. You know what? Major League Baseball owners can honestly go screw themselves. They basically want to make profit off the backs of the players and barely pay them in recompense for what they've earned. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? This is exactly why I feel that baseball should really, really go screw itself. Those two paragraphs that I just read to you, ladies and gentlemen, should really explain to you how far apart the two sides are, and it is embarrassing. It is embarrassing. It is a downright shame. Like, are you kidding? I can't believe this. I really cannot believe this. I can't believe what I just read. So they're willing to pay them, but barely. They're willing to pay the players, but just a little tick, uptick. We're still going to lowball you, but you're going to get a little bit more. Like, nah. In this case, I don't blame them one bit. Now, I understand that was just one. That was just one reason why the two sides are so far apart. But another reason, if I had the time, I can only imagine has got to be, it definitely has got to be in terms of the like the payrolls and the teams and the revenues, something along those lines. I'll have to like read up more on that later tonight. And this is embarrassing for baseball right now. Like, you're basically trying to lowball the players, especially those that have barely 2 years of major league service, into accepting salaries that are like comparable to the guys who have had longer MLB service time. Like, are you kidding me? Ay, Dios mío. Like, what are we doing? Final thoughts here with you on this Monday evening on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Quickly, Rams, Bengals. It is going to be a terrific Super Bowl. For the next 13 days, basically, America is going to be dissecting, you know, every aspect of both teams, offense, defense, special teams, you know, the secondary, pass rush, run game, passing game. I think that these two teams are going to be in for a dogfight. More on that on next week's show, but I really believe also, with that being said, that we still have a lot to dissect and as well as digest from yesterday's games in the AFC and NFC championship games, respectfully. And that is going to wrap it up for this edition of the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Touch Free Farm Radio. It's been a blast being here with you tonight. Be back here again with you next Monday. Same time, same place, same slot, hopefully. But follow me on social media on Twitter at Shukri Wright, at SHUKRIWRIGHTS for further information on the show and as well as more content that I will be providing on Twitter as well. This is Shukri Wright signing off, saying peace. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio, streaming nationwide on the TuneIn Radio app and globally on WMFO.org.